What would happen if we had the audacity, the courage, the boldness, and the presence to lean into our edges and to grow from our core? See, in a world shaped by yesterday's leaning into tomorrow's, we find ourselves weaving possibilities in an endless constellation of opportunities. The world has shifted, and now we find ourselves in a space-time continuum where lifestyle, business, and consciousness share the same office space as your purpose and your brand. Welcome to the Supernova Podcast. I'm your hostess, Lena Ski. This is a never-ending chronicle, a narrative really, designed to usher in those big bang shebangs and a whole lot more glimmer. Let's get astronomical. Let's really shift the needle into flow. 1 year later, and we're still talking about the truth about teams. Welcome to part 3 of this conversation, and this magical hiatus was beautiful, is beautiful, and actually is so uncovering, and I'm so glad that I was able to take it and be with what needed to be with and hold space in a different way, because I remember so many people jumping on the bandwagon going, let's just go out there, and they didn't use this word, but let's preach, let's motivate, let us inspire, let's push, let's do something to get people moving, to get people out of the fear, to get people just moving along and getting on with their day and being productive. And I didn't jump into that. I didn't want to be like, I'm going to be one of those coaches or podcasters that brushes up the hoo-ha, clamps down on the hustle culture, sells just do it, when the world is changing and changed, when we're trying to find ourselves in this equation and making sense of something that in the beginning of this time last year may have not yet made a lot of sense and soon started to become a lot more evident, a lot more real, and of course a lot more personal. On that note, wherever you are in this big blue, I hope that you are safe. I hope that you are healed. I hope that you are healing. I hope that you are honoring your well-being. I hope that you're loving yourself and loving the people around you. And I know we all have different definitions of what those words mean and what those mantras mean and what those statements mean, whether it's going out and celebrating and hugging and touching and holding and partying to really being mindful and nurturing, because our definitions have changed. And that's something I'm going to reveal in this part of this truth about teams, because it's a humanity statement as well. So welcome to it. So if you haven't listened to episode 2, part 2, I keep calling it episode, I keep meaning to not do that, and I still do that. If you listen to part 2, I revealed a lot of the structures at play, and they're still true, right? They're still pertinent, and they're more revealed now than they ever were before. And that's a gift of COVID that makes me smile, that we're able to refine what work means to us, who we are in the equation of our work. That purpose is no longer a functional element, but a continuum to be lived on, something that's evolutionary, something that's generative, something that's unfolding with you, that cannot be confined to a 5-year plan and isn't made in one moment and prescribed and defined for the rest of our lives. Because we know it now, right? The world is changing, changed, and transformed. If we go back to the beginning of the emergence of COVID, We see the teams that succeeded, the teams that inspired us, the teams that moved us, that we aspired to be, weren't necessarily the ones that were already holding Zoom meetings or quick on Zoom meetings. They weren't those who were already using project boards such as Trello or Asana and the likes. They weren't those necessarily that were on Slack already or Microsoft Teams, because these aren't new things. I've been using Zoom coaching for, well, since Zoom started. Loved it ever since then. And I even remember back then going, wow, you know, like, will we ever do in-person coaching? Because coaching around the world is a beautiful way to meet new people, to extend and be of value, to be of service, to reach new contours, and to support you in the vision of what your genius is longing to create, and what your product is really wanting to be, and what your ideas are wanting to become, and what your strategies then are to encapsulate and envelope and express the real truth of what it is that you're designing and co-creating. Whether you're a solo entrepreneur, a scale up, so you're bringing on the team, starting up, wherever you are in the space-time continuum, you do have a team. Quickly going to the entrepreneur side, you have a team because you have clients, you have vendors, you have suppliers, you have an ecosystem that is looking to be harnessed. And I'm not really seeing this so much on the entrepreneur side, that we're really harnessing what we have to really imprint. We're seeing it more in bigger teams, startup teams, agile teams. And coming back to the teams that really were successful in the very beginning, that really emulated this beautiful paradigm of what's possible and how work could be, is those that were human. Those that understood that maybe this production meeting won't be that productive. Maybe the minutes won't be taken. Maybe the agenda is to have no agenda. Maybe we just need to connect to dispel this spell of loneliness, to allow for our humans to exist and to check in with each other, and to really create an all-in culture. Like, we're still trying to figure it out. We're still all in this together. We're still trying to keep our work going, our jobs going, our brands going, our mission going, our ideas going, the work and our value contribution going. And we're going to find creative and insightful ways to do that. Of course, there was a tipping point in that equation where people took on that philosophy a little bit too hard. And instead of going that productive, hoo-ha, just get on with it style, they allowed for too much to come in too quickly. And it's interesting that I say that, because one of the things that I personally love in the world and see in the world is that there is a state that we can create whole people and whole brands, which is absolutely pure magic. And it's not for everyone. And it doesn't show up the same for everyone. So I just wanted to put that footnote in on that. But the tipping point has been where you're so entrenched with your work, and we spoke about this in the previous part two, where you're now adding and bringing in your other skills, and you're running yoga classes, and you're doing art therapy sessions, and maybe somebody's really good at baking, so you start a baking channel, and there's these really great ways of creating camaraderie and working in new ways, doing things that really are out of your project spec, and really creating this culture of all-inness. But those companies that took it to that extreme or misunderstood the humanity of it all were the ones that were quickly burning out because they just had no work-life balance. There was no work-life integration. They had to be so much of themselves at work, there wasn't room for life. And I think that's the thing that we don't see in the work-life balance. We see it as work, as in job, and life, as in home, and the adulting responsibilities. But the actual statement that we're designing for, that we're speaking of, is work-life. It's doing and living, doing and being. And that's a very different energy to compensate for, to design for, to cultivate. Just let that sink in for a second. The other thing that we've seen is Zoom fatigue, right? Ooh, big thing. That it's so easy, not only screen time is harsh, on our bodies. I'm actually getting another pair of computer glasses because my frames are just a little bit annoying, and because I'm a sunglasses girl, but I've never needed to wear glasses. It's just so far out of my culture. I need to keep reminding myself of that. But these things are becoming a lot more real. But the Zoom fatigue of constantly being in meetings, constantly being on email, and sometimes I wonder, like, I've got Slack now, and I'm on Slack for different teams and projects and movements that I'm part in, and sometimes it feels more time consuming on Slack than it would have been if I was literally working on the project with and having that meeting, because it would be much more contained, right? I wouldn't be constantly checking in for every and but, ongoing remark, second guessing, thought, inspiration, emoji, and that wouldn't be filling my day as much, because it didn't fill my email box as much. But now I find that there is even more communication on Slack. So that's another thing, Slack fatigue. Though people really aren't talking about that so much. But the Zoom fatigue, this constant checking in, over-checking in, oversubscribing ourselves, definitely going on a culling mailing lists, and really being mindful of what I bring into my mailbox more now than ever. Because in being more involved, we actually create more separation. Think about it. To consciously choose a yes in something means to subscribe to a no in something else. There's a clear boundary being made. There's a clear definition being made. There's a clear yes to something and no to something else. Now, sometimes those yeses aren't clear, and sometimes those noes aren't clear, and sometimes we take on a bit of everything. And that's learning to become human. And that the fact that the future is still human. Because I truly and honestly believe that, even in the rise of technology that we're seeing. So, what does that say about our team dynamic, our team culture? Well, some other things that we've become obvious and jarring and evident in this hiatus, in this navigating the new frontier, the new normal, the new way of work. Yes, everything's remote. We all hear the word remote working as if it's the epitome of everything. But remote working is not, in fact, I remember having this conversation a couple of years back where people saying the future is remote and that's going to epitomize the next cultural revolution. And maybe to some extent we do buy into that. But the remoteness isn't something that we should create a structure and a culture around. The remoteness is a methodology and a means in doing something greater. And that's when then purpose comes back in track, right? Because the purpose isn't to be remote, to just be sitting in a coffee shop, on a sofa, in your garden, on a picnic basket, at the lounge table, in your bed, on the toilet, wherever you're finding your new home office to be. That's not the epitome of the work of the future. The fact that you're in a different room, sitting in front of the fridge, with a new co-sharing environment, which is whatever and whoever co-lives with you, whether it's a goldfish to a very vocal chihuahua to your significant other to your parents to your kids to your peers to your friends to the voices in your head, any, all, above, none, something in there rings true, right? So the future isn't specifically remote, is what I would like to say. Remote is a way of navigating what we're doing. It's a challenge and a methodology. It's a means. It's an orientation. It's a system we use. It is not the product itself, right? Even though I can imagine, as with anything, somebody's going to create a product range of remote t-shirts, work from home culture memorabilia, and more things to fill our spaces with. The other thing is the handover of power. In cultures that are asking us to be more and do more and figure out more and maybe even take more responsibility rather than accountability for the work that we're doing, to maybe be blurring the departmental lines, which I can definitely see not really happening, but there is an invitation to it, and there are companies that are definitely blurring departmental lines in their own shape and form, so that we're all contributing to the final finish line and we're all in this together in that culture of green, is that handover of power. Because there are those who may not be the CEO of this creation, who may not be the team leader or the manager of this creation, who may not be the leading talent of this creation, who may be average to below average to right there at the bottom of the barrel kind of workers, who are literally just seeing themselves as workers and not activists, not collaborators, not instigators, not revolutionaries, not evolutionaries. I mean, these aren't the words that I actually would have wanted to have spoken right now, and yet they are, because very often in chaos, we want to look outside of ourselves for an answer. We want to look outside of ourselves to tell me how it's done. Give me the template. Teach me how to Slack. Teach me how to Asana. Teach me how to integrate all these different things. Well, how really should I be setting up my Zoom things? What lighting should I be using? What microphone should I be using? How do I really create my own unique space? How do I really share my own unique voice? Do I mural? Do I not? Do I do so many different things? And this can be a never-ending question stream in itself that could take us right off this tangent. So I'm going to pause it there. But there's this real notion of handing over of power. Somebody else will figure out how to make the money, how to make this work so that I can just keep my job. And again, this is by design or default, a new subculture, a crack, a revealing structure is being made in these spaces. And the fact that it's being made means that it had the potential to exist before, that it did exist before, but perhaps then it was a brick wall, perhaps then it was a glass ceiling, perhaps then it was that elephant that we didn't really know it was in the room, let alone know how to name in the room. But now the fact that these cracks are here, it becomes evident of a structure that has always allowed for something. And I love this one culture quote that I'm going to mess up considerably, saying something to the effect of the best culture that a leader is able to cultivate is the worst behavior that they tolerate. I don't know if I've said it better than the original or worse than the original or in a way that makes absolutely no sense compared to the original, but I think you may have heard something to that effect. And I'll try and see if I can find the original quote or the variations of the quote, because there are a couple, and add it into the show notes. Even though that isn't the defining point of this particular podcast, but it is part of the structural design of what is. And it's part of the truth of teams, because teams, the human element, reveal the actuaries, the streams, the capillaries, the joints, the cul-de-sacs, the everything. I'm really mixing up too many metaphors that are outside of my stream right now and outside of my reach right now. But I think there may be a nod in that, right? I'm really hoping there's a nod in that. And I see this handover of power, and I know leaders and team leaders and account managers and star talents and CEOs and C-suites and different people who are taking this very personally and having to compensate for so much more on their plate. Not only may COVID be causing retrenchments and causing teams to scale down because of industries that one might fault not being able to pivot quickly enough, but I don't think we can purely put it on that right now. Yes, pivoting is important, but to just say you weren't smart enough to see the opportunity and go in the other direction, there's a lot more issues in play, and there's a lot more conditions that need to be considered when getting to an actual meaningful working pivot, right? Have you noticed that? So there's, apart from the places actually closing down, places actually scaling down, there's employees that may be sick, key employees that may be holding key roles. You know, there's still mums getting pregnant on maternity leave. There's still people moving in and out of different spaces and dealing with personal home issues and may not have the capacity to multitask the same way because the environment in which they are is different. The environment in which we are is different. There's a lot of contributing factors to this piece. And it becomes real work to separate the noise, the story, the data, and the actual structural elements that actually are the pillars of this downfall. Oh, I do not like that word, but again, it was there and it happened. And that is a lot to compensate for. So, in that, teams are doing something interesting as well, because teams are becoming more me's. teams are looking out for myself, teams are having to self-regulate, individuals within teams are feeling their individuality a lot more, are feeling their own individual uncertainty a lot more, because there's more likelihood of an individual losing their job than a whole department losing their job, unless it's at those dire straits. So it's harder to bring ourselves all into work. It's harder to navigate. And it becomes the antithesis of an all-in culture. It becomes the antithesis of another concept, which I love, called wholeness. Again, wholeness is a principle, a guiding principle of a movement that I honestly and truly believe and resonate with and choose for myself and would love to see more of in the world, which is called the Teal Movement. You may know it as reinventing organizations. You may know it as reinventing work. You may even know it under other names, because I originally was trained in it under a different name. But Teal seems to be the popular culture name that's getting the most marketing appeal, if it's gotten any of that in your world already. And it's this principle, guiding principle, that we design our work to allow for wholeness. But that means also that we design and allow for our individuals to come into wholeness. And the irony in this is it isn't an all-for-one, one-for-all strategy, which it could sound like, because if you really are allowing for wholeness, you're allowing for somebody to say, I don't want to be in at that level. And that true, honest, in all of its truth, sense of diversity. That it isn't prescribed, that it isn't a culture to stick around, that it isn't a mantra on a wall or a personality type modeling, color coding experience that we all dress in a certain way and talk in a certain way. It isn't as tribal as that. It's an allowingness state. And because we're having to look out for ourselves, because we're having to put on our own mask before we can reach out sometimes and put a mask on somebody else, we're in a different dichotomy. We're in a me versus we, I want to say economy, I'll bring it back to culture. We're in a me versus we relationship. We're trying to orientate who we are in these spaces. And that lack of power could be, you know what? I'm not going to take the responsibility of the we, because it's not my responsibility to take. And I'm going to look out for me in all of that, so you tell me what to do. And the irony is that, and I'm really hoping this isn't true, that as a structural play, if we aren't mindful of what we're creating, it's going to push us back in our evolution to an organizational and a cultural state that is very divisive, that hunts for steadiness, that is survival driven, that is constructed with a power over and a power for and a power to dynamic, that can and has historically always ended up being that red hot toxic culture that we think we've moved beyond. And I'm hoping we don't pivot into that, and I'm hoping we pivot more into these teal ideas. But that's going to be a podcast for another time, because We do want steadiness right now. We do want some sense of normality. We do want some sense of predictability. We might even think of bureaucracy as having a golden halo again around his head because there's some sort of longevity in its mysticism and its steadfastness to, you know, how a creative may give up on a creative project and join a corporation just because there's some sort of a structure that has that longevity. And I know I'm kind of moving around quite a bit in this, and what does that mean for teams again? And I'm inviting you to hear it. I'm inviting you to feel it. I'm inviting you to feel how all of this lands on you and how you show up in your team, how you lead your team, how you contribute to your team. Because here's the irony. In other conditions, in other environments, in our relationships, whether it's familial, to significant other, to kids, to friendship zones, while being human takes practice, boundaries are really a body of work that we don't all have under our skin, and we don't all get perfect because that's the nature of being human. Is this wisdom and truth that there we design and we decide to be collaborators? We decide it takes two to tango. And yet, very often in a team environment, that two to tango, five to jive, really another bad set of metaphors coming through, isn't there. And I think the worst one that we could reach for and aspire to is that all for one and one for all methodology and mantra, which is beautiful, and I love Musketeer movies. I absolutely adore them with all of my world, and I'd gladly watch a new one by the end of this week if there is one, or rewatch the Musketeer movies, and I should not be planting that in my head. But it isn't an all for one and one for all martyrdom kind of paradigm that's going to move the truth of the teams forward. It's the interdependence that does. And I guess that me versus we economy culture that I spoke about is also that codependent, independent, interdependent paradigm that we're all still healing from. And because work has now come home, it can feel a lot more enmeshed. It can feel a lot more closer. It can feel like lines blur constantly and instantly. And wounds and triggers and relationships and dynamics and power struggles and work-life balance and all of these other lexicon that we've taken on board, and resentment that we may have, with plates that are fuller and fresh air that is more in demand than ever, and no clear copy-paste answers. It really is true that whatever your team is, whether it's your clients and your vendors and your suppliers, to your departments, to the people within your departments, to your organization, to your startup and your scale-up, that you get to decide the definition of this. And you is put in an interesting light because it is you. But it's also you collectively, it's you individually, it's you on all whole levels of the potential intricacies and multiplicities of you. And that's already quite a mouth to get around. So, what do we know? The world is changing, changed, transformed. The truth of teams is open. The truth of teams is it's revealing. The truth of teams is it can be resolving, it can be responding, but ultimately, in its truth, what it really wants to do is to create this new way forward. And we are at that precipice. We are at that new edge. And you may say it's a year too late, but it's not. Because I noticed with clients in the beginning, they weren't ready to ask these questions of themselves. Not everyone was there yet, and that's okay. Sometimes we needed to go through our different stages of grief in different ways. Sometimes we needed to pull back. Sometimes we needed to pedal down and just do it to know that we could get here. And sometimes we had to make difficult decisions and let things fall in order to create something that you actually want to be a part of. I'd love to hear where you are in all of this. I'd love to try out this function on anchor.fm/thesupernovapodcast. There's dashes in between those words. Hashes. I always forget the word. And you can send a voice note. Let me know. You can comment. You can leave a testimonial on my website or over at the Apple Store, which I haven't checked in a while. But I will definitely go over and hear your voice on that. And I am really insatiably curious, and on Instagram too, insatiably curious to know where you are in the truth of your own team. Whether it's a party of one, a party of five, and remember, your clients and your vendors and your suppliers and your support systems, they're all your team, right? We're changing that word. We're allowing more into that word, and we're not prescribing that word to be obsolete or final in its rendition right now. It's voluptuous and it's full of volumes, and it's going to be what it needs to be in the exact moment. That's what true evolutionary business right there. And then evolutionary brand right there. So thank you for listening to this three-part series on teams. I know that there is still so much more to talk about teams, and I know that there's so many other elements and touch points that I want to bring in. So I don't know if there's going to be a direct part four after this, or if I'm going to be called to speak into another topic, but we'll definitely come back around here, and we'll definitely look about teams and cultures and purpose and wholeness and alignment and all of these juicy, juicy good words, and Zoom fatigues and all the juicy, not so great words that make up the functions of our day. The functions of the paid parts of our day, or our productive parts of our day, however you want to define that for yourself. And until I figure out what's happening with my podcast recording software, because it's just not playing along as nicely as it wants to, please head on over to www.lenaski.com and see what's possible. Looking forward to seeing you out there in this big blue, really, truly, and absolutely. Take care. Chat soon.